From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Fritz Scholder broke almost every rule there was for a Native American artist. He combined pop and abstract art, and he shunned the sentimental portrayal of Indians that had been so much a part of the work that preceded him. Scholder died 3 years ago, and now he's the subject of three exhibitions across the country, in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where he taught, and in two shows in two different cities organized by the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian. Those exhibitions are both called Fritz Scholder, Indian, Not Indian. NPR's Joshua Brockman reports.
Fritz Scholder was only part Native American, so when he created the work that put him on the art world map, his Indian series in the 1960s, he made a lot of people mad. The first painting has the word Indian stenciled on it, as if the image couldn't be identified without the label. Co-curator Paul Chat Smith points to another iconic image from that series.
Indian with beer can, 1969. It's still devastating, seeing these white teeth and a distorted face to suggest a skull. You can't see the figure's eyes, they're behind sunglasses. Incredibly arresting and powerful work, even today. But back then, it was extraordinary.
The can of Coors in the foreground is a vivid example of how Scholder painted what he observed. And that included alcoholism in Indian country. Truman Lowe co-curated the show.
He's really talking about the condition of the American Indian that he saw. And it's not pretty.
But it's not always ugly. Scholder's second wife, Ramona, points to another well-known Scholder painting called Super Indian Number 2.
We were at Santo Domingo Pueblo, and we had kind of left the crowd and walked around a corner, and here sat a buffalo dancer.
Scholder went home to paint him with a horned headdress, beads around his neck, and in his hand, just as Scholder saw him, instead of the traditional rattle, there's an ice cream cone with two scoops.
He went, "Oh my God." And I think that that's why this painting is quintessentially Scholder, because he picked up that Indian as mythical being and Indian as ice cream cone eater.
I succumbed to a subject that I vowed I would never paint, the American Indian.
Fritz Scholder from a 1982 documentary.
The subject was loaded, but here I was in Santa Fe. It was hard not to be seduced by the Indian.
Scholder was one quarter Luceño, but he said he grew up non-Indian. Born in 1937 in Breckenridge, Minnesota, he spent his childhood in North and South Dakota. There, he studied with his first Native American instructor, Oscar Howe. When he moved to California in the 1950s, he studied with the celebrated pop artist, Wayne Thiebaud. Scholder likened himself to the abstract expressionists.
The thing is to get the paint on the canvas. I don't care if you use your fingers, your rag, brushes, cardboard. It doesn't matter. It's getting that paint on the canvas. You get it on the canvas, and you see what happens. It drips, it smears, it's thick or thin, or you make washes. I consider myself a colorist. One color by itself isn't that interesting. It's the second color and the third color.
Scholder shared his enthusiasm for painting with students at the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe. Even though he was shy, he didn't hesitate to put himself in the center of his canvases. Standing in one of the galleries at the National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, Ramona Scholder points to paintings from the Human in Nature, Monster Love, and American Portrait series.
All these paintings are self-portraits of some aspect of himself. He himself influenced the shape of the paintings, the shape of the people. He had scoliosis in his back, and one shoulder was up a little higher than the other, and it shows up in all of his paintings. It's in that one. It's in that one.
The right shoulder is more pronounced in a series that includes the painting Portrait with White Suit, where an asymmetrical figure is set against a lavender landscape.
New York City, Penn Station, next station stop.
Scholder went to New York in the 1980s as part of his mission to make it, to become a star. Andy Warhol painted his portrait, he went to openings, and was embraced by an art world intrigued by his otherness. At the Smithsonian's galleries in Lower Manhattan, the emphasis is on paintings and sculpture Scholder did from the 1980s until his death in 2005. The series on display here aren't just about himself. They're also inspired by the esoteric objects he collected. Another possession is a winged sculpture of a demon with a skull-like head. It echoes the Egyptian sarcophagus, the mummies and skulls that are part of the collection of artifacts that he lived with and used as props or springboards for his art.
All of these things give you the impression of incompatibility.
Renaissance professor Bob Bjork was Scholder's friend.
But what's amazing is that they meld into a perfect work of art. It's as if you're entering a painting. He had an amazing ability to juxtapose objects and make them work together in an incredible way.
Scholder also lived with thousands of books, some of which he created. Bjork reads a poem about September 11th from Scholder's illustrated book, From the Cave.
Fun left that morning. We witnessed the fall in real time. Birds were burning. Time to paint flowers.
That year, Scholder's art took an even more personal turn. His widow, Lisa Markgraf Scholder, says he'd been battling diabetes for years.
This was a time of illness being taken very seriously and lots of blood work. And in between blood tests, Fritz would always connive his doctors into giving him extra vials so that he might take them home and experiment.
That led to Blood Skulls, a series of skull images on motel stationery fashioned using his own blood and Diet Coke. In his last self-portrait, crafted in 2003 and on display in New York, the artist sits in his studio leaning on a cane with an oxygen tube in his nose. A large pool of blood encroaches from the foreground. A gray Egyptian cat stares up at him, and in the center of the floor are a book and a photograph. Scholder would likely smile at the questions his work still provoke today. His creations have an afterlife that curator Truman Lowe says resonates with both Indians and non-Indians.
He was an instrumental part of breaking down the stereotype of Indian painting and actually changing it so that, in a real sense, it's freeing up the succeeding generations of artists to really work in whatever medium and in whatever subject matter, in whatever direction they choose.
In 1975, Scholder did a series of etchings called 10 Indians. Each portrays a different member of a tribe dressed in regalia. The last one is a Luceño. It's Scholder, in sunglasses and an ascot. The title of the Smithsonian exhibition poses the question, Indian or not Indian? Fritz Scholder remained both, right until the end. Joshua Brockman, NPR News.
To view Fritz Scholder's paintings from his Indian series and to learn more about him, you can go to npr.org.